Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. It's good to be with you again. We missed last week because we, fortunately, were in other parts of the world in the Caribbean. So it's good to be here, and we have another really timely subject to discuss this evening on social media, about social media. But before we get started, let's introduce and say hello to our fabulous co-host, guest co-host, my husband.
Hello, Delia.
So, social media. This was a topic that you chose.
Yes.
And the impact of social media, on people's lives, I think, also looking at it from a mental health perspective as well,
Okay.
How are we doing in terms of how social media is impacting all of us and our mental health?
Okay. Right. Well, it's spring, right? This is our first program since the time changed and days are longer, and this is what we've waited for the temperature to be above freezing. So I'll celebrate the long sunshine and the warmer weather. And I remember doing many of these programs saying, gee, when will this winter and this ice end? So I would like to thank the sunshine for being here, and I'd like to thank the warmer weather for being here. About the social media topic that I that I expressed interest in discussing, I think it's been a big, gradually over the years, it has gotten more and more woven into our lives in terms of how we do things, how we speak to each other, our children, our grandchildren, or wherever, and the impact in our lives of that. And I think it's very, very important to address it or think about how it has affected our lives in terms of what adjustments or what differences that we have to make. I remember a couple of years ago, my mother sent me her very first email, and I thought that was over the moon. So as simple as that, or how we no longer have conversation on the phone or face-to-face, it's either a text, an email, a tweet, or such. So what is that, really?
Yeah.
And is that a good thing? Is that a blessing? Is that a curse? Is there somewhere in
so
the middle?
So let me give you some statistics.
Okay.
So let me give you some statistics. Recent study. 7 out of 10 adults, online adults, use social media. The average user spends about 23 hours a week emailing, chatting, and using other forms of online communication. That's nearly 14% of the total time in a week.
Wow.
67% confess that they feel like they will miss something unless they stay glued to their social media network. And while 38% ages 18 to 34 check their social media networks as soon as they wake up, even before they check email.
Okay.
So I think that, it's clear that social media is playing a big role.
Yeah.
But also that, there's a study done out of some University of Salford that says that 5 out of 10 people, five out of 10 people feel like that Facebook and Twitter make their lives worse.
What's that number?
5 out of 10, half.
Wow.
Their self-esteem suffer because they compare their accomplishments to that of their friends. So, you know, we should give the call-in number, 619-639-4621. That's 619-639-4621. Yeah. So most people are having, like, Facebook or Twitter envy because they're comparing their lives to the lives of
others.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I guess a lot of things go through my head. all right. I guess you can keep it organized in that sense. But I'm hearing a lot of things. It's like, does that mean then folks will embellish, lie, make it more than the truth? Your ego gets into play. You know, if those are one of the, if that's one of the things that reason for being on these social things, so that you can be bigger, better, stronger, more popular, more whatever, because it's everything being relative.
Right.
You know, am I keeping up? Am I as successful as? Am I as popular as? And then you think about kids and youngsters and teenagers and what it means to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean having more friends because you're popular and playing on the football team, the soccer team, the baseball team, and so on and so forth, is how many friends you have or what is happening on social media. And you could probably have never met one of these people ever in your life.
You know, people, I guess, you know, mostly people know, even if it's just peripherally,
mm-hmm.
they know
mm-hmm.
the person.
Mm-hmm.
I think the you know, it's that even with having hundreds or even thousands of friends on Facebook
mm-hmm.
or followers on Twitter or Instagram,
mm-hmm.
that so many people still seem to be lonely,
mm-hmm.
still seem to feel alone. I remember seeing a status yesterday where the person said that, you know, they were thanking God for their Facebook friends because they really don't have a lot of friends.
Really?
And so that's the connection. But,
declaring that on Facebook.
Yeah, but it's not a meaningful connection. It's a very superficial, in many ways, and peripheral connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because you find that if it's somebody that you don't really have a real-life relationship with,
mm-hmm.
that Facebook really doesn't allow you to do that, you know, really to feel connected to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're exchanging messages every day or, you know, tweets every day or whatever it is that you do. You know, I don't think the social media affords individuals the ability to develop meaningful relationships in a really warm, engaged way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so...
I agree. I mean, I think when you said, thank God for Facebook, as the person said, because, you know, I guess they don't have any real friends, thank God for Facebook that I have all these friends. In a way, I guess that person is feeling as if, this is, you know, I have this. This is meaningful to me.
It is, probably. Because it serves a need.
It serves a need.
Yeah, it does fill the void. But also, when you talk about the Facebook envy,
mm-hmm.
even without embellishing,
right?
I think mostly the envy is generated probably from pictures.
Mm.
Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm wearing. Look what I'm eating. Look what I'm, you know. So
so is that why they share? I mean, all right, full disclosure. I don't have a Facebook account. I don't have a Twitter account. I don't have a, what's the other one, Instagram account. So help me understand this. So people post things, you think, in order to
share.
To share. Is it, but are you really, sharing sounds kind.
I think that most people are doing it not because they want to generate envy.
Uh-huh, okay.
But because they want to show off what they're doing.
So, but I thought, all right, so I post pictures in order, let's go one avenue. I want to share with those in my friend community who are my friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, our new baby boy, here he
right.
is today, he took a walk, you know, here's our new puppy that we just got, you know, those
yeah,
type of
here's
things.
Here's my, you know, ackee and salt fish, here's my
But what
whatever.
Is that? All right. But aren't you telling me then that most people put things on these things for reasons less than just to share in a kind, genuine
no,
way?
No, I don't. You know what? I think that.
Why would I share the Akian's office? So that what?
So because that's what you're eating, and you know you're enjoying it, and you want to show people you know, what a delicious meal you're having, or if you go to a fancy restaurant. And then you take a picture of whatever the meal is that you're eating.
But prior to that, would we have called someone and said, guess where I ate today? Would we have done that?
We didn't have that opportunity.
No, but we had a phone. We could, even when we just had cell phones then, you know, or whatever.
But our society was not as media driven as it is today.
So then what is it that, what's the driving force to share these things?
I think because of the way social media has developed and the role that it's playing, it's about instantly communicating with hundreds, thousands, millions of people.
So rather than just call Bob alone, I can tell everybody one.
Yeah, you can share, yeah. So that has changed the landscape of communication in terms of being able to say to the world, look at what I'm wearing, or look at what I'm eating, or look at where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a totally different change.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know. Just continuing a little bit with the statistics, it says that 66% of the people in this particular study claim that it was difficult to relax or sleep after spending time on social media, while 50% say they feel worried or uncomfortable where they can't access Facebook or email.
Really?
Yeah. You know, uncomfortable or worried. Because, again, it goes back to the idea that a lot of people feel like they may be missing out on something if they're not connected to social media. And it's almost like the world may be passing you by.
Wow.
You know, so it's, you know.
Wow. Is something wrong with that? Or is just, I probably use the incorrect or inappropriate word by using the word wrong. But is that an issue?
What's an issue?
The fact that you feel as if the world is passing by, you have
Let's talk about the neurobiology of it, right?
Okay.
So Harvard University said,
okay.
you know, they wrote about this, and they said a part of the brain that's activated during the use of social media is the nucleus accumbens. And it's a part of the brain that's linked to addiction, to addictive behavior. It lights up when someone takes cocaine or other drugs.
Thinking crack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you know, it's the same pleasure. So
wow.
it's a part of the brain that gives pleasure, right? That promotes pleasure, and it says the same pleasure that we get from receiving when you're eating food.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it is satisfying a need. It's satisfying a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's creating that sense of satisfaction. And I think that's probably what a lot of people are craving, you know, even in their use of social media, is that a lot of people are craving
satisfaction.
Yeah, you know, pleasure.
Pleasure. But, boy, you almost feel as if the things that was pleasing, you know, pleasing to you before, are no longer as valuable, even though they had substance to them.
All right, so we have a caller. Hello, good evening.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. This is Anne-Marie from New Jersey. I apologize ahead of time, but I am at my son's soccer practice with my younger one, so you may hear some background noise.
That's all right.
I had to call in because I heard you talking about social media, and I am a guilty party of posting. But I do take issue with Raymond's, I'm not sure if it was Raymond's comment or if it was your comment, that some of the postings are meant to be a little bit of bragging or whatever.
Go ahead.
No, I tend to post a lot of pictures about my kids, what I'm doing, my vacation, and it's not so much about bragging or look at me, I'm doing stuff. It's more like instead of having to call people on an individual basis and catch up, it's more like, oh, here, everyone, this is what, you know, been going on with me for the last month or the last, for the summer or whatever. And I understand the point that sometimes people may look at it and say, look at me, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But it's not. I really think it's more of sharing in a mass distribution sense as opposed to just saying, oh, I'm so wonderful, my life is so great, because nobody's life is so great, but life, it has its challenges, and people celebrate the good things that are going on in their lives, and when you post a picture, it's like saying, you know, I'm happy with what I'm doing right now, even though I may have challenges, and look at my kids, we're doing well, but it's not so much of a bragging thing.
Right, and that's why I said show or show off, because I agree that it's not necessarily showing off, and we actually did point to well, is that you can reach so many more people through social media than you could before with just one telephone. You know, so you can
exactly. And I'm not, and I'm sure you understand, I'm not the one that's very reachable by phone. In keeping up with my friends, because I do have real friends on Facebook. I'm not one that will just, you know, gather friends because you want to have 15,000 friends. I do have genuine friends and family on Facebook. And rather than having to, you know, keep everybody up to date individually, it's just a wonderful tool to just say, okay, everyone, this is what happened last week, and everybody's up to speed on what's going on with you and your family and the kids, and you don't have to then pick up the phone and call your mom and call your sisters, your brother, and say, you know, oh, Matthew did this at basketball. It's like, okay, everyone, here is the information, you know.
Yeah.
So to me, I guess it's a shortcut, just because there's just so much going on and so little time to catch up with everyone individually.
Right, understand. But, Amory, is there a difference? You made the distinction of saying you have real, genuine friends on Facebook. Everyone that you have on, you know more about them than just their names, right?
Right.
More or less. Right. So when you're sharing with this group, you're genuinely sharing out of love and sharing because these are people. If you had the time in another format, you would have sent them probably each a picture or called them and told them. My concern, and I think there's an absolute place for that, where technology has taken us to another level where we can now mass share, like sending a letter that's saying, "Dear everyone, Merry Christmas," or "Dear everyone, here's a picture of my child." However, for those folks who collect, you know, friends, quote unquote friends, to have that number, those are the ones then where the envy could become more of an issue, because I really don't know you.
Right.
All I really know about you are the pictures that you post, and I form an opinion of you based on that.
Right.
And I think there's
I think that envy is not generated from the person who's posting, but maybe from the person who is reading the post.
Others,
that's on the recipient side, not necessarily on the person who's giving the information, because you've come from a genuine place and you are sharing with people, your family and your real friends, and then everybody else who may be casual friends. And if the people who are taking issue and thinking that you're bragging or saying, look how great my life is, then I think that's on their side. And to understand that, no, that's not what it is. This is just me having a busy life and I'm mass distributing information about my life.
Okay, so then the question
And I have to say, though, Raymond, when it comes to small things such as a birthday or Christmas or Easter, I do not subscribe to somebody just saying on Facebook, Merry Christmas. My friends, my family, I'm going to pick up the phone and say Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy Easter, because to me, there is a limit where social media does not communicate or does not take over for that personal connection.
Okay.
Even on a birthday, I mean, there are people who I will post on their website, on their Facebook page, I'll say happy birthday, but I will also pick up the phone and say happy birthday. And I know Delia will definitely pick up the phone at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to rush out of the house, and she'll be singing happy birthday.
My apologies. I have to listen.
There comes a point where social media does not replace that personal connection.
Right, but I mean, the issue I have, though, are the ones, you know, again, we're talking about people who, the ones who are not able to make that distinction. And you have a lot of younger folks, a lot of teenagers, young adults, who do not make that distinction. And it consumes them.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a whole generational issue where the younger generation doesn't understand the connection that is attained by having face to face, because they're sitting in the same room and they're texting each other. You know,
right.
So and I think that's dangerous, because we're getting into an area where the social media is taken away from social skills and the ability to interact face to face personally with your peers or your family, because it's just easier to send a text. Even when you're in the same house, you're in the same building, it's easier to send a text. So that's the danger I see. Compared to, I mean, it's convenient and it's mass distribution, but the danger also is losing the social skills. And I think people like you and I are okay. We're good because we understand social media and the need and the use of it, social, personal connection. But I think the generation that's coming below us need to learn that it's good, it's convenient, but you also need to be able to look somebody in the eye, because when you go to an interview, you need to be able to look somebody in the eye and have a conversation and not rely on a text or a post.
How do we make sure then, Amri, that the next generation, that how do we ensure that the next generation, continue to learn those really important social skills of real human connection?
It's hard, but I do think it's a matter of putting your foot down and saying, there comes a time when you put down the phone. You put down the iPad. If we're having dinner, you are not going to be on the phone. You're not going to be texting. You're not going to be doing anything on any electronic media. You do have to monitor youth and just really make them have that person interaction.
Yeah,
and it's hard. It's hard.
It is hard. And I find that there are people, because like I was talking before about someone who posted yesterday on Facebook that they were thankful for Facebook because they feel like they never had any friends, and now it's just the Facebook friends that they rely on, and they were basically lonely, you know?
I think that's a whole different issue. That's a whole different maybe psychological, this is your area, but I think it depends on what age this person is, because if you're like our generation and you're depending on Facebook, quote-unquote, friends, then that's a problem, because you should have already established friendships, lifelong friendships, that even if there's no Facebook, you would still have connections with the humans, you know? So that's troubling. That's troubling
but
as somebody who is thankful for Facebook, you know, to that extent,
I mean, do you feel as if, and both you, do you feel as if Facebook or not Facebook, but all these social media avenues have actually created or facilitated this whole idea that, where I can have friends without having this physical interaction with people, where people become more isolated and almost justify it being okay, where I no longer socialize and pick up the phone and call. I can now send you a text. But it's facilitated and it seems as acceptable for that to happen.
I think it may have facilitated that, but I think also, depending on your background, there are people. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
What did you do?
Gosh.
I'm sorry. You just hit the OnStar button, so I have to go. I'm sorry.
All right.
That's all right.
I'll call.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Right, but I mean, my issue, that's my issue though. You know, it's saying there's a place, as we're all, when we were younger and we've all probably said to our kids or our younger folks in our lives, there's a time and place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are able to make a distinction between the time and place that's appropriate for whatever it might be, to use the cell phone, to use the iPad, to this, and how much is enough, and so on, and what is acceptable, that's fine. Then therefore you set up boundaries and so on, and what's acceptable. But what about the rest, the folks who, I can now be isolated in my room from now till the end of time, and I can be so, as you just said, I get my fix by logging on and getting messages and seeing what's going on in other people's lives and posting and having friends and probably never uttering a word to any of these people, and that is satisfying in some way, shape, or form. Or my thought process is now so different than when I used to relate to people.
Well, you know what? Like, you know, and there may be other things there. There may be other
concerns there.
And that's
my point. That's
there.
My point. That's my point.
But you know, it's when someone is opting or choosing to isolate and to not have any significant relationships, then that, you know, that speaks to something else going on. But I think also that it can be addictive behavior. I think it can happen where people don't realize that it has happened, right?
Mm, because it's normal.
Right, because this is what they've gotten used
Norm.
To, right?
We're normalizing.
Right, so you have to understand that I think that the behavior, you might not recognize, you, the individual who's engaging in the behavior, might not recognize that the behavior is troubling because that has become your new normal and because it's giving you that sense of satisfaction and you get so used to it. Remember now, it can be addictive.
Right, right.
And so because of that, you know, this is the kind of behavior you're engaging in.
And you're justified.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I personally think it's a problem. I'm sorry. I personally think, and not like I have any statistical anything, but based on what you read and what I thought in my own mind, I think how social media is used, the people that we have become because of social media, is not trending, to use their word, in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids no longer write letters. People no longer write emails to each other. We use funny words. We use words that are not real words, and it becomes a problem. Something is wrong with that, how we communicate with each other. Something is wrong with that. Our evolution is heading in the wrong direction.
Right. I think that it's about recognizing whether or not you're spending an excessive amount of time, talk about takeaways, an excessive amount of time with social media.
Mm.
Are you finding that you're not engaging, humanly connecting, physically connecting with people, or you're doing that less and less?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's about understanding that there needs to be a balance. Human beings, we're social beings.
Mm-hmm.
But we need that socialization in a physical way.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look somebody in the eye and to be touched. We need that as social beings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's recognizing whether or not you are engaging in behavior that's impacting your life and maybe impacting it in a negative way. So I think that's the takeaway, is really looking at it honestly, you know. So
I agree.
Yeah. So, we continue to, I guess, promote the idea that it's about balance. It really is about balance. So until next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and bliss.